our scripture reading, I invite you to look with me in Titus chapter 2. As we consider together the message this evening, the grace of God and how it is revealed. But here in Titus chapter 2, we have these words of Paul to Titus, who was one of the men that the Lord raised up to be a fellow minister of the gospel with him. There were few in Paul's day, and there are few in our day. Not much has changed. True ministers of the gospel. But he writes this in verse 1, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." The word sound there means wholesome, healthy doctrine, teaching. How is it that God communicates His word today? Is through ministers who speak those things that become sound doctrine, that which is in conformity to this word that we're reading. It's all Christ. And then he lists here different age groups in a congregation, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And note that all of that is the effect of sound teaching, sound doctrine, pointing sinners to Christ whenever this word is opened. And the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. You say, well, who do the women teach? The aged women. They teach the younger women. They, by their example, instruct the younger women in things that it says becometh holiness. That word means to be set apart unto God, hallowed. Those things that are sacred, and obviously that is those things that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I know there are some that argue today that times have changed, but the word stays the same. And here in Scripture, in that family that is founded upon the doctrine of Christ, taught of God, we see here the place of the woman as that of teaching younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. That doesn't mean that they can never go outside the house, but keepers of the home. In other words, the stability and the keeping of the home according to the instruction of the husband is what they do. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That word sober, if a person's sober, they're thinking, they're discerning. So be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And this is addressed to Titus. It's one thing to speak this to others, but the preacher himself to be a pattern of those works that are good. And if you ask, well, what are good works? Those are the gifts of God's grace manifest in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not anything in us. The good work is that which gives Christ all the glory. So as you point, Titus, sinners to Christ, let that be not just in word, as it says here, in doctrine, that is in instruction, showing uncorruptness. In other words, not changing the word to favor anybody or to make yourself appear better. No, uncorruptness, to declare, to teach the word of God, which is Christ, the word, without deviation, and do it with gravity and sincerity. That word gravity means honesty. with integrity, not hiding anything. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. So again, the preaching of Christ. Here is sound speech. If it's in accord with this word, the testimony of God, then it cannot be condemned. That's why we stick with the word. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. If men will cavil against the teaching of the doctrine of Christ, let it be with God and his word and not with us and our contentions. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them in all things, not answering again, not purloining, that is, not stealing, not thinking somehow, well, the master doesn't need it, so I'll just take it. But showing all good fidelity, here it's speaking of these that have been saved by God's grace and are servants. Don't tell them to rise up against their masters. It says servant. And that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Notice how many times that word doctrine is used. Here's the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That's the doctrine of Christ. And here it is. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. When did it appear? Well, it appeared in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. But teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How do you do that? It's not by our own efforts. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world is to live in Christ. Live according to this word and all that it teaches pertain to the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and or even our Savior Jesus Christ. He came the first time and brought salvation. He's coming again as the blessed hope of those that he redeemed the first time he came. Because it says there, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us. Does your Bible say from most iniquity? No, from all iniquity. That's a beautiful statement there. What must be the love of God that would send his Son to die for wretched sinners as we are, and to actually redeem, not to attempt, but to redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a ransomed people, zealous of good works. Anything good comes from him and is through him and to him. It's not in us. But it says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. There's a tendency today, just want to put a group of chairs around in a circle and everybody sit down and talk about the word. It's a pool of ignorance. When I read in this chapter, the importance of what we're doing right here. A man that will stand, the Lord's raised him up to teach sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is that which glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ alone and points us as sinners to him. And my prayer is that's what I'll be about here in our time of worship. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. How plain and simple and clear it is when you give eyes to see. Pray, dear Lord, that you would be pleased to bless our meeting together. And by your grace, grant us eyes to see Christ and Christ alone. And I'm thankful for that grace that teaches us to live in this world in Christ in a manner that is sober, righteous, not our righteousness, but that righteousness that he earned, and established, and you imputed once for all on completion of his work there at the cross. And godly, a way that brings you the glory, again, only in your Son. So we commend this time to you and pray for each one gathered that you would be pleased to glorify yourself in our midst. And I give you all the praise, honor, and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.